This is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness Radio Broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. And I am reading to you from my book, really at the time I'm recording it, just off the press, How You Can Pray in the End of Days and My Call to Help the Prayers. We'll tell you at the end how you can get your own copy. Chapter 15, Kinds of Prayer. An eye-opening and guiding light on prayer came to me from Kenneth E. Hagin's teaching on Ephesians 6:18, which says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Kenneth E. Hagin pointed out that all prayer in this scripture refers to the fact that there are different kinds of prayer. Other translations confirm that fact. The Amplified Bible translates, quote, "all manner of prayer and entreaty." Moffat's translates, "all manner of prayer." God's Word translation reads, "use every kind of prayer and request there is." There are different kinds of prayers, and the different kinds of prayers are governed by different rules. Knowing this fact is fundamental to praying effectively. Kenneth E. Hagin used the analogy of sports. There are different kinds of sports, and each one has its own rules of play. Playing one sport with another sport's rules would bring confusion. Imagine trying to play basketball with football rules. Imagine trying to play soccer with a tennis racket and tennis rules. All these ball games come under the heading of sports. But in sports, there are different games with different rules. Someone might ask, "Well, isn't prayer prayer?" Yes, it is all prayer. But there are different kinds of prayer and different rules cover them. Someone once said to me, when I was editor of publications at Kenneth Hagin Ministries, "Brother Hagin is inconsistent in his teachings on prayer. He says that we can pray once and believe we receive, and after that we can just thank God for the answer. But then in his book, The Believer's Authority, he says we can pray the two prayers in the book of Ephesians every day." This man was confused. He did not understand the teachings covered two different kinds of prayer. In this chapter, I am listing some, not all, of the different kinds of prayer. These are basic. From the next chapter, I will major on prayer essentials for one who wants to work with God on end of days matters. For further understandings of the basics of prayer, I recommend Kenneth E. Hagin's Bible Prayer Study Course. The Prayer of Faith, Mark 11:24. "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." The prayer of faith is primarily about you and your desires. It applies to your situation and circumstances. This prayer is primarily effective in one's own sphere of authority. In other words, I can pray this prayer for myself, my spouse, my children, and my house, and expect by faith to receive what God promises in His Word. I cannot pray this prayer for my next-door neighbor and push off my will on him and his children. And of course, since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, the prayer of faith is based on the Word of God. When you pray, at that very moment, you can believe you receive before you see any evidence in the natural, and you shall have what you believe. The prayer of faith is governed by what John G. Lake called, quote, "the inevitable law of love." And that is, quote, "according to your faith, be it unto you." Matthew 9:29. Faith is governed by another law, the law of love, quote, "faith works by love." Galatians 5:6. The prayer of consecration versus the prayer of faith. Because this is such an important point, I have quoted extensively here from Kenneth E. Hagin's Bible Prayer Study Course. Quote, Some people think you ought to end every prayer with the phrase, "If it be thy will." When you question them, they'll say that Jesus prayed that way. But he didn't pray this way every time he prayed. He just prayed that way on one occasion and for one kind of prayer. Luke 22:42. For example, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus didn't say, "Lord, if it be thy will, raise up Lazarus." No, Jesus said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always." John 11:41-42. The prayer Jesus prayed at Lazarus' tomb was a prayer to change something. Anytime you are praying a prayer to get something or to change something, never put an if in it. If is the badge of doubt. Should you pray that way, you're using the wrong rule and your prayer won't work. It's that simple. What kind of prayer did Jesus pray using the phrase, "If it be thy will"? It was the prayer of consecration and dedication. There are other kinds of praying that will require the use of the if when we don't know exactly what the will of God is in that situation. We use the phrase, "If it be thy will," in our prayers because we want to be able to do what Jesus wants us to do, to go anywhere, to do anything God has called us to do. Therefore, in the prayer of dedication and consecration, we are to pray, "Lord, if it be thy will," or, "Lord, thy will be done." However, when it comes to changing things and receiving something from God according to His Word, we do not pray, "If it be thy will." We already know God's will because we have God's Word for it. It is God's will that our needs be met. God wants to give us what we need, and we receive our needs met by faith. End quote. The Word of God is the will of God. Where the will of God is known, believed, and received, we can expect results. 1 John 5:14-15. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." John 15:7-8. "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." The fruit John 15:8 refers to is prayer fruit. The Father is glorified in our bearing the fruit of answered prayer. The prayer of commitment. A revelation I had to have in the area of prayer was regarding worry. For on one side of my family, there were champion worriers. Where there is worry, there is no faith. And as Lake said, the inevitable law of faith is, "According to your faith, be it unto you." Matthew 9:29. It is inevitable. You can't get around it. I can pray until I turn purple and nothing will, quote, "be unto me," end quote, if I continue to worry and fret. It was like water in the desert to the thirsty when I heard Brother Hagin teach on how to pray the prayer of commitment. 1 Peter 5:7 in the King James, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." In the Amplified, 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." Brother Hagin shared about this in his book, Prevailing Prayer to Peace, and I quote, "As long as you fret and have anxiety concerning the thing you are praying about, you are nullifying the effects of your praying. You haven't cast it on the Lord. You still have it. If He has it, you don't have it. As long as you are still worrying about your problem, lying awake at night, tossing from one side of the bed to the other, trying to figure it out, He doesn't have it. As long as your stomach turns every time you think about it, as long as you can't eat for worrying about it, He doesn't have it. You do. And really, all of your praying about it will not work because you have not done as He has commanded." I pastored, Brother Hagin wrote, for about 12 years, and occasionally problems arose and I would be tempted to worry about them. When I would find myself becoming anxious about something, I would start talking to myself. "Now, Kenneth," I would say, "you know better than this. You are beginning to fret. Don't do it. It's not right." Many times during the night, I would awaken, and the devil would bring to my mind a picture. I would be tempted to worry. But instead of worrying, I'd start laughing right out loud and say, I don't have that problem. I'm carefree. I don't have it, devil. You can show me a picture of it if you want, but I don't have it. The Lord has it. It is amazing what God can do with your problems when He has them. It changed my life when I heard Brother Hagin explain a sort of chess game we can engage in with God. Its rules are in three verses. King James, Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, verse 7, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, the Amplified in the sixth verse is, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything and in everything, by prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. First, it relieved my heart immensely when Kenneth Hagin pointed out that God would not ask us to do something we can't do. It would be unfair. If God told us to be careful for nothing, then we can do it. I have written the Amplified translation of verse 6 in the margin of my King James Bible. It is so wonderful. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. That covers it all, everything, and I can do it. Kenneth Hagin taught something about these verses that I've made use of from the first day I heard until today. He taught us that doing Philippians 4, 6 through 8 is like engaging in chess or checkers with God. Some verses are our move, one verse is God's move. He said, God will never move out of turn, but He will never fail to move when it is His turn. Let me illustrate. And I've combined the King James Version and the Amplified. Verse 6 is our move. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7 is God's move. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8 is our move again. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, and if any praise, think on these things. We have to do something with our minds. You can have your copy of this book, How You Can Pray in the End of Days, and my call to help the prayers. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and get this 220-some page book for only $10. 1-800-972-3447 or write us at Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615. $10 per copy of this new book. This is Billy Brim saying Shalom, Shalom. We'll be with you here tomorrow.